Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Meditation, we're going to focus on exchanging self with others, which is where we try to broaden our perspective, to be able to factor in where other people are coming from, even if we don't agree with them. This is really important if we want to avoid conflict, even if it's just our own inner conflict, is we have to begin to be willing to broaden our perspective, see things from their perspective. So at the moment, we're sort of deeply rooted in our perspective, right? We're very familiar with where we're coming from, with our point of view. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with our point of view. There's nothing wrong with where we're coming from. But when it comes to communicating with other people, we need to be able to develop a mental flexibility, like a mental flexibility, really. It's just a flexibility of mind to be willing to get or consider another person's perspective or allow ourselves to try to understand better where someone's coming from and why they're coming from that place. So I think the best way to approach this isn't so much from kind of a reactive state when we're focused on the differences in our perspectives, but more from the point of view of like a scientist trying to gather information. That we sort of look at it as a formula for having better communication. A little bit like, I like the example of, maybe some of you remember this when you were in math as a student and you'd have those problem solving questions. You know, so a lot of the questions would be like 1 + 1 = 2, right? 2 × 2 = 4, right? But then occasionally, thanks for the help from the crowd, I appreciate it. Occasionally there'd be those kind of paragraph long questions that were problem solving questions. You know, the questions where it was like, you know, if a train leaves Union Station at 4:54 p.m., and it's on its way to Pittsburgh, traveling at an average speed of 52 miles per hour, how long will it take for that train to arrive in Pittsburgh? Of course, there's somebody in the back of the room who has an answer to that. That was so fast, by the way. But the whole point of that, right, and we learn this as kids, is we gather the information to create a formula or an equation to come up with the answer. So none of that information is redundant. All of that information is key to coming up with the correct answer. So I think this is similar to when we're trying to use this meditation on exchanging self with others. We're trying to gather key information to know how to communicate with other people in constructive ways. And so we have to be willing to gather the facts in the situation. Some of those facts being perspectives, experiences, points of view, sort of mental places that someone else might be coming from, where someone else might be at. Like we're coming from here and they're coming from there, and how are we going to meet in the middle with some understanding? So we have to be willing to entertain the facts, gather information. So this is why I'm saying this approach can be more scientific. It's not about tit for tat, I agree, they disagree, I agree. It's more about how do I gather information that can help me approach this form of communication in a constructive way, in a solution-oriented way, in a way that can derive the greatest benefit. So this is where understanding is key. And the meditation we're going to learn is really about developing some ability to mentally move to a place where we can understand better someone else's point of view. Where we have a lot of hesitation in doing this is we think that understanding equals agreement. Agreement. That if I try to understand someone, I'm necessarily agreeing with them or their actions or their points of view. So this is where we need to understand it's just a mental exercise of changing perspective. It's not in any way meaning we have to agree, unless we find that it's actually helpful to agree. But it doesn't require that. It doesn't require in any way for us to relinquish our own views or opinions or cherished perspectives to try and understand their perspective. So this is where in the meditation, exchanging self with others, we do an exercise where we try to see the relativity of self and other. And we use an example of two different sets of mountains that we can imagine kind of climbing up and down, getting different perspectives. So this is explained in the meditation or the chapter on this meditation, exchanging self with others, where the author Geshe Kelsang, he says, self and other are relative terms, rather like this mountain and that mountain, but not like donkey and horse. When we look at a horse, we cannot say that it is a donkey, and likewise, we cannot say that a donkey is a horse. So we might be thinking, like, why are we going into animals now? Like, where does this come from? We went from mountains to animals. But actually, this is really helpful because this is sort of where we're at the minute. We think self and other are like two different animals, right? Self is here and other is there. And self is like horse and other is like donkey. They're like two different animals. Nothing in common with each other, not the same species. Whereas what he's saying is that self and other are actually just relative terms, more like this mountain and that mountain. So he gives some example here. If we climb a mountain in the east, we call it this mountain. And we call the mountain in the west that mountain. So we can imagine this. Say you are in an area where there are mountains in the east and there are mountains in the west. And you decide you're going to take up hiking mountains and you hike up the first mountain in the east. While you're on that mountain, you think this mountain. The mountain in the east has become this mountain by virtue of your position, right? The position you've taken on top of that mountain. And then what all, you know, avid hikers tend to do when they hike a mountain is they get a chance to take in the view. If the weather allows it, they take in the view and they look at the view and they see the scenery and they might even see the mountain in the west. Say we then descend that mountain in the east and maybe we drive a ways to the mountain in the west and we spend another day hiking and we hike up the mountain in the west. It's a different mountain. But while we're on that mountain, we think this mountain. Like while we're on the mountain in the west, we take in the view, we look back at the eastern mountain and we call the eastern mountain that mountain. Like while we're on the western mountain, we think this mountain. We look at the east mountain, we think that mountain. So the point of this is that this mountain and that mountain depend upon our point of reference. Like this and that, therefore, depend on our point of reference. This is also true of self and other. By climbing down the mountain of self, it is possible to ascend the mountain of other, and thereby cherish others as much as we cherish ourselves. We can do this by recognizing that from another person's point of view, it is he or she who is self, while it is we who are other. So we try to rename, because there's some facts in this. We're the only one who thinks self on this body and mind. Everyone looks at us and thinks other. They see other. And everyone regards themselves as self, while we look at them as other. So what we're trying to do is loosen our grip on the sense that we're the sole owner of self and everyone else is an other. There's no self in other. There's no selfness there. It's just an otherness. And likewise, we often feel that there's no otherness here. There's just self. So we're trying to get a broader perspective, which is actually most of the world looks at us as an other. Right? That there is some otherness here. We don't have the monopoly on self. And then likewise, we try to consider other people as a self. Like the way that we relate to ourself, we try to understand that's how they relate to themselves as a self. So from that point of view, we're all self. From that point of view, we're all other. And so it's a little bit more along the lines of this mountain and that mountain. Just depends upon a point of reference. On the basis of this foundation, then this meditation makes a lot of sense. In the meditation, what we try to do is we try to descend the mountain of this self and ascend the mountain of someone else. Say someone we want to communicate better with. And then on that, on the basis of ascending the mountain of someone else, we try to think self on their body and mind. It's theorizing, right? We don't have a direct experience of their self, but we're trying to imagine what is it like, look like from their point of view. From the summit of that mountain, what do they see? How do they see things? Why do they see things the way they see them? You know, maybe from a different view, if you think about those mountains again, from a different reference point, we might look at a mountain and think, oh, there's an unobstructed view. But on the top of that mountain, you can see everything clearly. And then you ascend that mountain and maybe you reach that summit and you realize, oh, actually, there's like a big boulder blocking the view. There's a bunch of trees. There isn't an unobstructed view. So same thing, we can look at other people and like, why don't they get it, right? Like, why don't they see things clearly? What's obstructing their ability to understand X, Y, and Z? But maybe when we ascend that mountain, we can see, oh, because there's like a giant boulder in the way of a wrong view, you know, or a wrong experience. I mean, there's some big trees blocking the view. So they don't have an unobstructed view. They can't see things in the way that I think they should be able to. And that understanding can be very helpful in improving our ability to communicate. You know, there's this saying, maybe some of you are familiar with this saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed Jack is king. You ever heard this phrase? In the land of the blind, you're like, no, I have no idea. But you get it, right? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed Jack is king. So sometimes we have this idea that we're all seeing with the same eyes, or we all have two eyes, or we all have one working eye. But maybe we're blind, right? How much would you expect someone to see who is blind? You wouldn't expect them to have the same abilities to assess spatially what's going on, where there was potential obstructions, objects, dangers. You wouldn't expect them to understand if it was day or night in the same way or in the same way, you know, in the same time period. So sometimes we can't always realize where we might be blind and where others might be blind. And where the one-eyed Jack is king, right? You know, where maybe in the land of the blind, there's like one eye is getting a perspective and everyone else is like, oh, they know what they're talking about. Right. And then there's a bunch of other people with two eyes. We're like, why are they seeing things like that? It's like, oh, they can't see. So again, the whole point of this is for us to begin to investigate and explore different perspectives, where people are coming from, why they're coming from those places. Going back to the math example, so as to gather information to problem solve. Those math problem solving exercises, we can only do if we're willing to take in all the information. So similarly, in this meditation, we're trying to take in the information of the people we're communicating with. We try to inform ourselves, try to understand better. So where this becomes, I think, a lot of fun is the whole point of communicating this way is that we become more solution-oriented. And a lot of times when we're at odds with other people, we don't think there's a solution. Because what we often think is the solution is just that I'm right. And they acknowledge they're wrong, which they're never going to do. So then we think, yeah, there's no hope. There's no hope for harmony. Whereas actually through this meditation, what we will begin to discover is the actual causes and conditions and parts that make someone tick. So then the way we become solution oriented adjusts. Because we start to see, okay, there's all these different things that are supporting a person's perspective. And if I'm looking at the causes and conditions of a perspective, then it becomes easy to see how I can contribute to them having a different perspective that isn't just attacking their views and opinions, telling them they're wrong and we're right. Like we become a little bit more wise in our approach.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.